chance and risk getting knocked out.
Your number one source for combat sports.
Oh, right. How good was that?
Boxing, mixed martial arts, and more.
And it's all over!
Bang! Right on the jaw!
Covering the fight game on a local, national, and global level.
How about the knockout?
Yeah. It landed chin to chin.
This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Yeah, starting off Fight Show Live. This is T-Mac.
Who?
Yeah, I know, right? A little weird to have this voice starting off Fight Show Live. T-Mac here, Ozone, setting up as we speak. Momentarily will be joining us.
Tying his shoes.
Yeah, you know, getting ready. Got to get every detail, cross the T's, dot the I's. You got to be ready for Fight Show Live. As always, we also have Captain Awesome. There is his...
Thank you. Please. It's not about me.
It isn't about you.
Focus on the host.
It's not about you, but right. You like to think so. So I think I just heard the wonderful, soothing voice of Mr. Ozone.
Oh, thanks. Yes. Thanks, sweet daddy. Yeah, it's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Pardon my tardiness. I think there's a yarn convention in town. I was caught in traffic.
Yarn will get you.
Yeah, that's for sure. But
coming from the yarn?
Yes.
Convention, that's why you were caught in traffic?
No.
Oh.
As far as you know. But no, we got a big show tonight, as we always do. Where's Shark Bait?
I don't know.
Shark Bezaz, you know, usually joins us in studio. Of course, he's the star of The Ultimate Fighter Season 18.
We'll get a hold of him. You know.
We've got some headline activity in the first segment. Second segment, we're going to be talking to the victorious caveman, David Rickles, at Bellator 103, I believe it was, this Friday last.
Yeah. Did you see it? Did you see it on?
I did. I saw your stinking ass in the audience,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I went out there to Wichita, saw the fight. A great arena. It was at the Kansas Star Casino. Holds about 3,900. It looked to be sold out from where I was sitting. And it felt like every single person was there for Caveman.
The caveman.
Man, I mean,
you know, he came out, of course, one time he came out with an actual dinosaur.
Yeah.
This time it was
on a
like
leash.
A Fred Flintstone mobile.
And I think that's his mode of transportation, actually. We'll ask him when we get him on, but they showed a highlight package going into that fight, and it showed him actually using this car, I guess
you
call it.
No, it's the Flintstones, the same vehicle, the same model, make and model that the Flintstones used on the famous television program in the 1960s, I guess. But no, he was driving around in the neighborhood.
Right, yeah. So I believe that's his best way of transportation, which good for him, you know. Gas prices keep on rising. Although right now I think they're around the $3 mark, which is always a plus, but, you know, that's still a lot.
I saw it in Missouri, $2.99.
Yes, it is.
Under three fozzles. It's a shame that we have to celebrate such things.
I ain't celebrating it.
Yeah, it's under. At least it ain't four.
Right, it ain't four, but still.
So we'll talk to David Caveman Rickles, I believe, in the second segment.
Yes.
And, man, you know, a real impressive performance. He really put it on that J.J. Ambrose.
Yeah, you know, that J.J. Ambrose... He went into the fight and, you know, like I said, I was there at the fight. And you could see in his eyes that, you know, he was there to spoil the homecoming of Rickles. And Rickles just wasn't having any yeah. I mean, everything he threw at him. I think maybe Ambrose had a good combination. And I believe it was in the first round. But outside of that, it was stuffed takedowns, shots to the kidneys, 1-2s on the feet. I mean, it was just total domination from Rickles, which was good to see because, man – he had a lot of pressure, I felt, going into this fight. You know, he came off the loss. It was in his hometown. It's on national TV, you know, ABC, XYZ, all those things. And he performed he looked the best I've seen him. So it was really impressive.
I thought he looked terrific. And so did the crowd in Wichita, man. On the television, it looked like a rocking crowd.
It was. It was one of the loudest reactions to a fighter coming out. I mean, usually, you know, when I think of crowd reactions in MMA, I think of the Strikeforce fight at Memorial Hall when Bobby Volker upset when he upset Eric Apple. The crowd went nuts as if it was a Raiders-Chiefs game. And that was good because that was the win. You know, Bobby Volker got the win, so everyone celebrated. This time around, they were celebrating as he was walking out as if he already won. And they were just going crazy. You saw those Caveman Rickles bobbleheads.
Oh, those big face deals,
I actually got one. I had him sign it for me, so that was always a plus. And those were throughout the crowd. I want to say there was close to 2,000 of them throughout the crowd that I saw. And, yeah, like I said, everyone was there for David Caveman Rickles.
Yeah, very impressive performance. Bellator 103. It happened Friday night. We'll talk to David Rickles in the second segment. I think in the third segment, we'll split up second segment with a couple of guests. But we'll be talking to Stephen Kumnan. He is an attorney out of New York, the big city. And he's going to be talking to us about the ban of MMA. MMA is banned in New York.
Yep.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Isn't that preposterous? The toughest city perhaps in the world, certainly in the United States, the most populous tough guy city there is, and mixed martial arts, professional mixed martial arts, is banned.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
I always think of New York, and maybe this is just my ignorance, but I always think of New York as a progressive state. You know, everything new happens in New York. You know, everything as far as entertainment, laws being passed, you know, so on and so forth. I always think, well, the first place it'll get passed is New York. And in this case, it's, I think, the last state to still.
There are 46 states.
Yeah.
That not every state has an athletic
commission.
Commission. So, the New York State Athletic Commission was created in 1920, and of course most states follow the sort of dictates from the New York State Athletic Commission. Obviously, Nevada also a very powerful commission in its own right because they have so many big fights there. And boxing, of course, is legal in New York. It wasn't 100 years ago, though. So,
right.
I mean, it's had sort of a checkered history in terms of legalized prize fighting in the state of New York. Stephen Kumnan will join us, I think, in the third segment. Big city attorney, and we'll talk to him and see what the hell's going on in New York.
Now, you said that it was legal in 46 states, and not every state has a commission. But if they don't have a commission, can they still do fights? For example,
yeah, you can go to an Indian reservation.
Well,
you know, or
there was
like
one
that.
Fight. Yeah, there was one fight that I worked out in South Dakota, and it didn't have an athletic commission, and the promotion didn't do it at a Indian reservation. It was just at a venue similar to like the Independence Event Center or something like that, and nothing really happened there. I didn't even think about that.
If the fights were official, I mean, you'd have to look at the record of the fighters that fought that night. There would be some other governing body, the local,
right.
You know, under the local jurisdiction of some government entity, et cetera, and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But they find a way to make stuff happen because, of course, they generate money that way. So
if it does happen on an Indian reservation, similar to C3, the promotion down in Oklahoma, I think they do it on their Indian reservation. But when you fight there, you could lose 10 in a row and it won't count on your record. You could go, 3-0 in Kansas City or, whatever. But go down there, you could lose every single one, won't count on your record.
Right.
So.
Fight business is a shady game.
Yeah.
It can be.
Yeah,
I mean,
is.
You get people fighting under different names, that kind of deal. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan. And a nice television monitor, Tim. Do you have that installed here in the studio?
No, they use the studio to broadcast the Chiefs games, so I think they had that up there for
them. Okay, all right, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And those of you that have the enhanced radio can see that there's a new television monitor installed here in the studio at Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan.
You were speaking about fighters fighting under different names, things like that. One of my favorite stories when you said that came to my mind, when Sharkbait, Anthony Gutierrez.
Sharkbait's out.
Yeah, he fights. If you look him up on Fight Finder on MMA.tv or MixedMartialArts.com, however you want to find that website, for his official license, it's first name Shark, middle name Bait, last name Gutierrez. It's Shark Bait Gutierrez. That's how you have to find him on MMA.tv. I remember because when he would fight for Titan and I'd have to find his official record, so on and so forth, that's how you'd have to find him. So I always thought that was funny.
Well, and whoever's taking, whoever handling the paperwork, Joe Lewis, the great champion, the longest tenured champion, almost 12 years champion, 25 title defenses, just finished an excellent book on him. He fought Max Schmeling back in 1936. Schmeling was the first, he's a German, first guy to beat Joe Lewis before Joe Lewis won the title. When Joe Lewis had the title, he beat ass on that Max Schmeling in one round. And, of course, this is just before, it's 1938, right before World War II really began. The point is, his name was Joseph Lewis Barrow, but he signed Joe Lewis on some paperwork, or you know, the Barrow got cut off, and he was known as Joe Lewis. So, but it can happen. It's a shady game, the fight game, and so second segment, David Rickles whooping that ass on Friday night, Bellator 103, and Stephen Kunin, New York City attorney, will talk to us about the ban on MMA. This has been in effect since 1997.
Yeah,
it's really ridiculous under the brilliant, short-sighted, and ignorant governor at the time, George Pataki. Anyway, we'll talk to him in the third segment. But, yeah, so get some headline activity on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan, T-Mac.
Yes, breaking news somewhat. It's happened within the last hour. Yushin Okami, who we talked about a couple weeks ago.
We talked to his manager weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, news now has just broke. He just signed with the World Series of Fighting. So,
nice. That's
still
cool.
Will be getting the fights on television, you know, making his way stateside to hopefully get some big-name fights, big-name fighters to fight him, I should say. So it should be interesting. World Series of Fighting, good move for them, you know. I really feel like they're trying to establish themselves as the number two promotion, you know. I think it's universally accepted UFC is number one. And I kind of feel like amongst fans and, you know, even promoters – Bellator's number two, but if you really start to look at it, man, World Series of Fighting is really trying to go after that number two spot, signing Okami, signing Fitch. You know, they're gobbling up a lot of good contracts that are open and out there to make their own promotion, you know, just as big as Bellator and the other ones.
I'm not sure who the money is behind it. I know the president, of course, is Ray Seifo, the great kickboxer, K-1 competitor and champion and everything. But, man, they are. You're right. Doing some big things and signing some big names. And the next fight for World Series of Fighting, I believe, is October 26th, which features a main event welterweight championship for the WSOF, World Series of Fighting, welterweight champion. It's between Steve Carl
and Josh Berkman.
And Josh, does Berkman have the belt, or is this for a
vacant
belt?
No, it's vacant. Okay. I keep remembering that going into the Berkman-Fitch fight, I think that was going to be the inaugural title fight, but for some reason, last minute, it just didn't happen, and so then it was just for like a number one contenders fight, and obviously Josh Berkman won that fight. And Steve Carl, who's been on a tear recently, I mean, he's just running through everyone. He established himself as kind of the other number one contender. So this is going to be for the inaugural 170-pound World Series of Fighting championship belt.
You know
belt.
What Steve Carl's style is?
What's that?
Or his background, anyway. Mm-hmm. His base is Army Combatives.
Yeah.
Learn how to do some ass whipping in the United States Army.
Yeah,
Come on.
I'm not messing with that.
No, you don't want to mess with that guy. Knock your teeth right out of your head. You have to go to Dr. Myers for surgery.
Yes.
Or Dr. Cattaneo. Depends on who's
right.
Who's closer, who's in your insurance plan.
Exactly.
Headlines on Fight Show Live. T-Mac, continue, please. What do we got?
Well,
Sweet Daddy Al. Come on.
Ashley Evans Smith, who at the time, not too many people heard of her, especially amongst the hardcore fans. But, man, she just put her name on the map defeating transgender fighter Fallon Fox.
Wow, Fallon Fox took
and
a loss, huh?
Yeah, and the crowd went insane. I don't think I've seen a reaction this intense and this loud in a long time. I mean, every single person was so happy to see Fallon Fox lose that fight. And Ashley Evans Smith took it to her, or him, or however you
say. I would say her legally a female.
Okay. And, man, it was impressive because she was a huge underdog. I think going into that fight, she was a minus 470, somewhere around there, minus 450, something like that, which is a huge underdog. And Ashley Evans Smith was able to stop her.
Oh, that was the result,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
a stoppage.
Referee had to pull her off of Fallon Fox, and she got the victory, establishing herself within that organization and really amongst the hardcore fans is now a star because, you know, a win over Fallon Fox gets you another big-time fight. And in women's MMA, who is in need of stars, this is perfect for them. So we'll see what Ashley Evans Smith does next, but she won her CFA fight over Fallon Fox, and the crowd, like I said, went insane. If you haven't seen it, YouTube it. I think it's on Access TV's YouTube channel, so subscribe to that. Check it out. It was amazing to see that crowd reaction after the win.
Now, were they fans initially of, I guess, Ashley Evans Smith because I mean, was it her hometown or just because Fallon Fox used to be a dude?
Yeah, I think it's more, hey, we want to see Fallon Fox lose more than Ashley Evans Smith as our fighter. I think it was let's see Fallon Fox get her ass whipped. And that's what happened, man. Okay. She got her ass kicked. It was a good fight, though.
You know, however you want to look at it, I mean, Fallon Fox did bring some notoriety, or at least some attention to women's mixed martial arts.
And yes.
So I great. I mean,
yeah.
Continue and live your life, and we'll all watch it.
Yeah, but where I think this is really great is for the women's MMA. As a whole, now they have another person they can look to and say, hey, we can put her on a main event card and you'll actually want to watch it because you've seen her perform in the past. So I think it's good because you're establishing new stars in women's MMA. You're not just relying on Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, Cyborg. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're getting other names in the consciousness of MMA fans. So I think that's really
great
good.
Great point.
And then in my last headline, it kind of happened a couple days ago, but Usman Paul Harris has been banned from the UFC for holding on to leg locks too long. He won his last fight against Mike Pierce.
About 30 seconds.
Yeah, he looked great, did an amazing job, but again, for some reason, he holds on to this damn leg lock so long that the ref is literally having to jar him away. It doesn't make any sense. And Mike Pierce is like, hey, you got me. You know, leave me alone. I tapped already.
He was tapping furiously. The ref kind of jumps over or in between both men. He's kind of laying on. And then, you know, Paul Harris, keeps cranking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, and I think it's justified.
Yeah, I think it's great. Honestly, you got to teach a bully a lesson when they're in their own, you know, realm and they're the king of, you know, the ground, for Paul Harris. He can be a bully to someone like Mike Pierce, who's not adequate to, you know, defend himself against leg locks.
Most people can against Paul Harris.
Yeah, and Paul Harris, you know, just wrenching on that, and that can cause some serious injury. That can ruin your career.
You can end a career like that, and it's not just maybe it's not just being a bully. Even if he's like is totally so much in the zone that he doesn't know what he's doing, he didn't mean to do it. It's unintentional. Well, then you don't need to be in there.
Yeah,
then.
Get out
because you can't react to
you can't control the
normal rules of the game. When someone's taps, then you got to let it go, sweet daddy. So yeah, that's too bad for Paul Harris, but you know, it's too dangerous, and the sport obviously is dangerous enough without not that nonsense.
And I also thought it was interesting. As soon as the news came that Paul Harris was banned from the UFC, Bjorn Rebney from Bellator, the owner of Bellator MMA, he said, we don't want him either. You know, so it seems like now he's blackballed. And Paul Harris even got suspended. I believe it was – I'd have to look it up. I think it was 120 days.
By the Brazilian commission.
Yeah, by the Brazilian commission. So, man, it looks like he's going to be out of commission for any type of fight for a while because – he's just getting too crazy in there. Like you said, maybe he's in the zone and he's not realizing what he's doing. But,
he's an animal.
Right. I mean, but get a grip. I mean, don't get a grip. You know, release your grip.
Yeah, release
if you're
the
doing
grip,
that.
Sweet daddy.
Yeah, so.
Sounds like he's going to be your next garbage man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He'll be out there picking up your garbage instead
of fighting. Be a busboy at Denny's.
Yeah. and the sad thing is he's a top 15, top 20 guy in the world as far as welterweights go. And now we just won't ever see him again.
Talented, tough dude, but he's an animal. So it's headlines on Fight Your Life, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Just quickly, Muhammad Ali's Greatest Fight is a documentary style kind of a movie on HBO. Check that out. Very interesting. It's about the Supreme Court and his whole battle. Ali's when he was banned for 3.5 years, he was exiled, stripped of his title because he wouldn't. He refused induction to the armed forces, the army specifically, back in 1967. Couldn't fight again until 1970. So that's interesting. It's a cool watch on HBO. Muhammad Ali's Greatest Fight. Bellator 103, there was a featherweight tournament in addition to the stellar performance by Caveman Rickles. Justin Wilcox will take on Patricio Ferrer. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name because they always call him Pitbull, which every third fighter's nickname is Pitbull,
yes.
Unfortunately. It's the most overused nickname in the history of combat sports. Anyway, so that's going to be the final for the tournament finalists.
Yes.
Justin Silverback Wilcox versus Patricio Pitbull Ferrer.
And Pitbull became the first Bellator fighter to reach the finals of the Bellator tournament for the third time. He's
the first third-time
finalist in the Bellator.
How about getting the title? anyway, so yeah. Glory 11 happened last night. That was interesting. Kind of a K-1 style
and
kickboxing activity in Chicago.
Damn. You know, the guys like me that kind of sit there on their couch and think, you know, I could maybe do a fight at the amateur level, you know, something like that. I understand that thought because maybe you have a wrestling, high school wrestling background, things like that. I watch that Glory and I go, I would never do that, ever. Those guys kick 100 miles per hour and just have to eat it and keep pushing forward. I would never do that. That was so
vicious.
Well, at least
with MMA, you can try to tackle somebody and get them in a headlock or something.
You know what I mean? You could go for a takedown, or you could go how, you know, Damian Maia, his first 3 to 4 fights in the UFC, it felt like he never even hurt anyone. He just got him into a submission. They tapped. You know, everyone's okay. Man, that never happens in the kickboxing.
No, I mean, you know, they're kicking you in the abdomen, and it's rearranging your internal organs and stuff like that. Now, there was a big fight, the boxing match, Juan Manuel Marquez versus Timothy Bradley. He says quite a bit. Have you ever watched any of that lead-up to that fight?
I did.
Timothy Bradley gets a split decision win over Juan Manuel Marquez. Of course, both men, well, legitimately, Marquez has beaten Manny Pacquiao, and Timothy Bradley got a gift decision over Pacquiao. Anyway, so Timothy Bradley, split decision win. The pay-per-view was only $65. And again, that was a la carte with no vegetable and no twice-baked potato. So 65 bucks would get you the high-definition version of that. And just, you know, Marquez thinks he got screwed.
Well, here's the thing that it feels like the running theme for boxing in 2013 is the judging, which seems to be always the MMA theme of the year. You know, bad judging in MMA. But now we're starting to see a lot of bad decisions in boxing. And I unfortunately didn't get to watch that fight because I didn't have the extra $65 to spend. But it always seems like at the end of these fights, it's someone crying, I got screwed, or I didn't get my way. The decision, you know, was stupid because these judges don't know what they're doing. And it feels like every fight in 2013, that's what we're hearing. And so it's just weird to see boxing having these judging problems like MMA has had for so long.
It's definitely a pain in the neck if you're a fan watching that, and certainly it's a pain in the ass for the fighters. Now, one highlight on that undercard was Vasyl Lomachenko. He was a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. Very difficult to win a gold medal in the Olympics. I mean, because it's really screwed up judging. If you watch any of the 2012 Summer Olympics it's a lot of corruption. Last year, but this guy is so dominant as an amateur fighter. He won his pro debut with a fourth round technical knockout over a Mexican guy, Jose Ramirez, and this is pro debut. So he wins the WBO International Featherweight title in his professional debut. He's going to be a superstar. The last name is Lomachenko, and man, he's just a superstar in the making. And looked, it's tough to be impressed by amateur boxing. They got headgear. They got, you know, it's a points situation that, you know, that you can't dip below the waist. There's a lot of things you can't do that you can do in the professional game. But this Lomachenko, one to watch. Check this guy out, man, because he's just a superstar amateur and probably on his way. Very likely on his way to superstardom in the professional ranks. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. When we come back, we will be joined by David Caveman Rickles. Very impressive in his victorious effort Friday night at Bellator 103 in front of his hometown fans. David Rickles, the Caveman, is next on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Hola, soy Tonga y estás escuchando Fight Show Live on Sport Radio, 102.5 The Fan.
¡Uy!
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Experts in the business of beatdowns.
Back to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Welcome back. We have with us now, he is a badass and was a victorious Friday night at Bellator 103. David Caveman Rickles is with us and obviously raising hell,
yeah,
as
raising
usual.
Some hell.
What's going on, sweet daddy? How are you?
Yo, what up, fellas?
What's going on, man? Hey, brilliant performance against J.J. Ambrose on Friday night, and of course, you know, you're known for, you know, being the caveman and embodying that persona. You came out, is this a new vehicle? It looked like sort of a Flintstones family vehicle you came out to the cage in.
You know, I just decided, you know, with all the Bellator money I've been winning for my fights, I needed a new car, you know, so I went out and kind of splurged a little.
Man, yeah, it looked really cool, man. I mean, it looks like it's a similar make and model. I mean, it's a classic vehicle, obviously, the Flintstones were driving. And you know, and personally, I was always a fan of, you know, that Pebbles Flintstone. When she grew up, Pebbles Flintstone, pretty nice piece of ass.
Yeah,
Hey,
well,
yeah.
My big problem with that is, like, right now, I feel like I'm caveman.
Yeah.
And I have a daughter, and she's kind of Pebbles, so.
Oh. Yeah. But I'm sure.
So, like, I can't look at it quite the same as you can.
I see. All right. Well, that makes perfect sense. David Rickles, the caveman, is with us, victorious in impressive fashion, Friday night at Bellator 103.
Well, now you're, in my opinion, caveman, you are the most entertaining fighter, from coming out with your entrances, your fighting style, the whole package. But with your entrances, you have another teammate, Joe Wilk, and he has elaborate entrances as well. Do you guys have a competition of, like, one-upping each other with these entrances? Because each time, I remember Joe Wilk had a tattoo artist, and it looked like he was getting a tattoo, you know, in the entrance ramp, and then he was rapping on his way down to the cage. Do you have these, you know, T-Rexes and things like that? Is it a competition between you two?
I'll tell you what, man. There's a couple things that have changed my life. And when I moved out to Manhattan and started training with Combative Sports Center and Joe Wilk, that's something I picked up, you know. That was early in my career, and I was like, man, I'd always been a huge fan of entertainment. Like, that's the way I fought, the way that I did, you know what I mean? And, you know, I was like, hey, I can beat that, Joe. I can beat it, Joe. And, you know, a dinosaur, a Flintstone car, or should I say a cave mobile.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, there you go.
I think I've done pretty good. But Joe, he just has a different, I mean, I don't want to use swagger because I think it's a really stupid word.
Very true.
But Joe has his, you know, he likes to rap and, like, you know, he does his, like, he does his whole spiel, man, and, like, people love that, too.
Well, you know, it's not forced on your part. I mean, you're a perfect natural at the sort of the flamboyant entrances and everything, and it obviously fits your persona and your character. But, man, you look terrific inside that cage against this J.J. Ambrose. You dominated the dude. He didn't have an answer for really anything you did. You dropped him at least three times with knees and a kick to the liver. He kicked his legs out from under him, and the boy just did not have an answer for the varied attack that you threw at him. Now, it was stopped in the third round. You were wailing on the poor boy's ribs. Did you have him? I couldn't see. Did you have him in some sort of a hold, was it an inverse triangle or something? I mean, how did that end, you know?
Yeah, you know, to finish up the fight, like you said, I dropped him a couple times, and, you know, I was really, like, that's exactly what Joe said in between the second and third. He was like, you're not here to just coast through this fight. He's like, go out there and finish him now. And I was like, hell yeah, you know, the crowd got me hyped. So I went out there, man, and you know, I just found an opportunity with just that. It was an inverted triangle, and I wasn't choking him. I tried to manipulate it so like I was choking him, but I couldn't get it. So, you know, second best thing was just, hey, I hurt him to the body already. Let's just destroy the rest of it. So it worked out pretty good.
Was there anything throughout the fight that surprised you about his fighting style? Was he a little quicker than you thought, or was he a little stronger, anything like that?
You know, I mean, He was tough. He was a lot tougher than I thought, actually. There was a few times I really thought I was going to finish the fight, especially when I dropped him with the liver kick.
Mm-hmm.
Got on top of him and was raining. Well, I was raining a lot of blows. But, he was just tough as shit. He didn't want to quit. He stayed in there until the third round, of course.
Right.
Now, you're the hometown boy in this contest. Was there, and it didn't look like there was any, like you looked really happy just to be getting into the cage and ready to rock. Was there any added pressure, or was it just excitement fighting in front of hometown fans?
Man, I really thrive off of energy. I do those quirky antics and, I don't know if you guys saw the caveman heads and stuff and all that stuff, like that kind of stuff, just seeing that stuff and like feeling the energy of the crowd really gets me, hyped up and ready to go. That's why I came out pretty aggressive and, continued that way to the rest of the fight. But, I like to turn that energy into positive, but there's definitely a little added pressure.
David Caveman Rickles is with us. He was victorious in very impressive fashion. TKO in the third round over J.J. Ambrose. Now, you just came off a loss, and your previous loss was really a split decision at a higher weight class and all that stuff against a terrific fighter in Carl Amasu. But you lost to the lightweight champion Michael Chandler. Were you more invigorated since that loss? Do you think you were even better in this performance, in light of that loss in your previous fight?
I still think that I'm young at 24 years old. A lot of times people don't realize that I'm still young in this sport. I've only been training for about 6 years. I still think I'm learning all the time, getting better. I think I'm a lot better than I was even when I was going to fight or did fight Chandler. But that's the thing though, man, like I really felt very, very good going into the Chandler fight. I think I just got caught. I think it was kind of a Matt Serra GSPS kind of thing.
All right.
That's how I feel about it. But I'm looking to prove myself again. That's why I'm real hungry and want to like finish guys the way that I did Ambrose, really hurting guys, picking them apart and being dominant.
Well, you're kind of in an interesting spot because you've won the Bellator tournament and you had your title shot. Now you looked really impressive against Ambrose. Did they give you any kind of way they're going to book you from here on? Are they going to give you, a title contender and then you get a title shot, or do you have to go through the tournament again?
Nope. Well, hey, man, the thing about Bellator is it's the toughest tournament in sports, and to fight the champ, you got to win the tournament. And, I think that's what's going to have to happen. I haven't, talked to him about it yet, but I'm sure I'll know something real soon, here in a couple weeks.
So waiting to hear from the Bellator brass about what's next for David Caveman Rickles. Hey, man, again, beautiful performance. Perhaps even your best. Some people are already commenting on that. And really enjoyed watching your work. Congratulations on that win. Can't wait to see what's next. And, man, thanks so much for joining us. Can't wait to talk to you after the next incidents of an ass-whipping put forth by David Caveman Rickles. Hey, man, thanks a lot, brother. You still with us?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was just rambling and just thanking you, just to let you know how much we appreciate you taking the time.
I was really relishing that moment. That was pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look like in the cage, like you're about to tear someone's arm off and beat them with it and then maybe have a snack on that severed arm. But you are the caveman. So, hey, man, thanks again for joining us, Sweet Daddy, and really looking forward to seeing what happens next with you inside the cage.
Hey, thanks, guys. I was happy to come on. Anytime you guys want to get me on here, I'm always open.
Man, we really appreciate it. David Caveman Rickles has been with us, victorious Friday night, Bellator 103, impressive fashion over J.J. Ambrose. He dominated and got a TKO in the third round, looking great.
Yeah.
And we come back, we will be talking to Stephen Kunin, a New York City attorney, about the ban of MMA in New York. It's ridiculous, but you can
stupid.
Hear it next on Fight Your Life, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Touch that dial, and we'll kick your ass. You're tuned in to Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Thank you again to the caveman, David Rickles. Man, he looked good on Friday night in Bellator 103.
Yeah, I mean, like I said to him, I fully think that he is the most entertaining fighter, from the entrances to his fighting style to even his pre-fight interviews. I mean, the whole thing, he's just so entertaining to watch. Win, lose, or draw. You know, he's someone I make sure that if he's fighting, I'm clearing my schedule to make sure that I see him fight.
Very entertaining, crowd-pleasing style. He's only lost twice.
I even drove 3 hours to see him. I drove 3 hours just to see him in person fight. You know, that's how much I think of his fighting style and his entrances and all that stuff. He's one of my favorites for sure.
It was a good show, Bellator 103, and I saw you in the audience. Looking handsome, sweet daddy. Well, right now, we've got our Fight Show Live legal expert on matters pertaining to mixed martial arts. He is a Brooklyn-born, grew up on Staten Island, went to Columbia University with a bachelor's in neuroscience and behavior, graduated with honors from law school at Emory University. Long-time interest in martial arts. Here he is. Please welcome Stephen Kunin.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for taking the time. It's great to have a big city attorney. East Coast, I know it's a little bit late there, an hour later than we are, but man, thanks for taking the time. Obviously, what we're talking to you about tonight is the ban in New York of mixed martial arts. Professional mixed martial arts is banned in New York. It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. Stephen Kunin, why is pro MMA illegal in New York?
Well, it's something that's been keeping us all up at night quite a while. The reason that it is banned is because we have a law on the books. It is NY Unconsolidated Law 8905, and basically it says that all combative sports are banned, and no combative sport shall be conducted, held, or given within the state of New York. So basically, we don't have athletic commissions that allow us to license the fights like they do in pretty much every other state in the country.
Okay, so there's a law on the books, but but now you hear a lot of things about the Fertitta brothers, and you know, of course, they are casino owners in Nevada, but they don't unionize their culinary workers, and it's my understanding that their union brethren, the culinary workers in New York, are a powerful, I don't know if it's a lobby, but a powerful influence on local politics and keeping the ban in place. Can you explain that a little bit, please?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So a lot of the influence in New York politics here is actually coming from what's going on in Nevada. And basically, the casinos over there are not being unionized. So the culinary union is flexing their muscle over here in New York to basically stop one of the committees in our government here from letting this law go through. Now, you know, we've got an assembly and a Senate. And there's been bills to allow MMA for 4 years in a row that our Senate has passed. But in this one house in our committee here, it never gets brought to the floor because Sheldon Silver is in charge of that committee, and he is always refusing to bring the bill to the floor because his biggest supporters are, you guessed it, the Culinary Union.
Stephen Kunin is with us, a legal expert on matters pertaining to mixed martial arts. He's a specialist in contracts and intellectual property, and I mean, really has a focus on combat sports from a legal standpoint. He isn't a high-speed, big-city attorney.
Yeah, my question is, you said it keeps on getting passed by the Assembly, and I always read headlines where, you know, it gets passed a little bit more. You know, there's a little bit more people in favor of the of this bill. Will there ever be a day that we see it get to the Senate, or is it because of this one guy we have to basically wait till he either retires or dies to get this bill to the Senate?
Yeah, you know, in the Senate is the one is actually that has been in favor of it, and Sheldon Silver, he's in the Assembly, and right though that even Sheldon Silver himself has said, you know, look, the momentum keeps building every year, and eventually, if it keeps going, it's just going to boil over and reach that point. You know, there was enough votes this year to actually get the bill passed in the Assembly, but the problem is he would have had to rely on constituents that were not in his own party. So this year, that was his excuse. Mm-hmm. And there was also a couple of scandals in the pertaining to one of his previous officials, and that had a lot of also negative press, which relates to some of the reasons the culinary union's putting out against mixed martial arts. So again, they're just trying to grasp at straws at this point. I think eventually the momentum in New York will get high enough to pass it.
Mixed martial arts is in the professional ranks is banned in New York. It's ridiculous. We're talking to attorney Stephen Kunin. He is a legal expert, as I said, on matters pertaining to mixed martial arts, T-Mac.
The UFC spends, it feels like, millions of dollars every year in New York to do basically PR work. Is that having any effect on this bill? I mean, it always seems like Dana White and John Jones and Frankie Edgar are in New York, you know, holding a press conference talking about the UFC and MMA as a whole. Does that have any effect on these lawmakers, or are they basically just blowing hot air?
You know, I think at this point the UFC and all the press has basically reached the maximum amount of impact it can have. Earlier this year, Dana White was in here again at Radio City talking about this very thing and said, look, you know, I'm basically throwing my hands in the air. It's up to you guys, the people of New York. You've got to call these legislators and, you know, tell them that you want this here. We've done everything that we can do. And, you know, it's really up to the people of New York. That's the only people that these legislators are going to listen to at this point.
Well, and so to expand on that a little, you know, John Jones, as T-Mac mentioned, and Dana White, what's the specific action being taken from the MMA community with John Jones and, you know, Gina Carano and stuff like that? I mean, aren't they suing somebody?
Yeah, this actually got started back in November of 2011, believe it or not. And so this has been, you know, the kitchen sink approach. The UFC and those fighters, local gym owners, and basically everyone who is related to MMA in all sorts of capacities have brought a lawsuit with a lot of different constitutional-based claims. So it's in our Southern District Court here in New York, and recently, on September 30th, the Judge Kimball Wood, came out with an opinion and only allowed one of the different arguments that the UFC and company was putting forth to go forward. So out of the seven different arguments that was put forward, there was one that was allowed to continue, which means that UFC still has a fighting chance, and MMA as a whole has a fighting chance still, to possibly strike the ban down as unconstitutional.
Now, we're talking to Stephen Kunin, New York City attorney, about the ban on MMA in New York. So you've touched on this already, but I guess what needs to happen, to overturn the ban? I mean, does it all really, this one hot dog, this Sheldon Silver, it all really is sort of up to him? I mean, what needs to happen, I guess, for the ban to be overturned?
Well, you know, there's two ways that it could happen. One is through the legislative path that, you know, pretty much all the other states have used. If essentially the community, the people of New York, keep calling that office, keep mentioning it to their senators, their assemblymen, that, look, you know, we really want this law. We're gym owners, we're fans, we're practitioners. We would like to be able to see this. If we call and we make that message loud and clear, that's going to have an impact. And if not, this lawsuit, if it continues, there's a chance that it might work. But as we see, lawsuits take a long time, and there's a lot of money being spent on both sides to fight that.
Well, one thing that I keep thinking about is money talks, you know, and a fight with John Jones at Madison Square Garden against, you know, hypothetically Anderson Silva or whoever the number one contender is, a rematch with Alexander Gustafsson, you know, that brings in millions and millions of dollars to the state of New York. Has that argument been brought up to the senator, and what is his response when people have brought that up?
You know, the economic argument is usually the lead argument in the front, and, you know, there have been studies, in fact, get this, as to how MMA here would actually be helping a lot of union labor, because a lot of buildings here, a lot of hotels are actually supplied by union labor. So even if an event was brought in, it would help that too. Nevertheless, despite all the different arguments for it, not only in New York City, but up in Buffalo, in Rochester, and all the other different parts of the state, and not just with the UFC, but with Bellator, with all the local organizations here, it still has not been enough, and their response has really just been, it's in this veil of, well, you know, we don't really support MMA. It's not what we're about. It's very violent. It promotes domestic abuse and all of the same nonsense that keeps going around year after year that gets weaker and weaker.
Well, and then another thing that I want to touch on is earlier you said that the law is about combative sports, but boxing, correct me if I'm wrong, boxing is legal though in New York, correct?
That is right. That's right.
So what's their argument about boxing and MMA? I mean, at the end of the day, they're both going to punch and or inflict pain on the other guy. I mean, it's kind of the same violence, right?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. The real literal answer is how the law is written. So the combative sport definition says a combative sport shall mean any professional match or exhibition other than boxing, sparring, wrestling, or martial arts, wherein the contestants deliver or are not forbidden by the rules from delivering kicks, punches, or blows of any kind to the body of an opponent or opponents. So the one thing you don't hear in that is mixed martial arts.
Right.
And anything that is not other than boxing, sparring, wrestling, or martial arts, which is a vague term, basically is not allowed. And that's what they've been using to keep MMA out.
Stephen Kunin, New York City attorney, is with us talking about the ban on mixed martial arts, professional mixed martial arts in New York. Now, Stephen, the amateur mixed martial arts is allowed in New York. Can you tell us about how and why that happens?
Yeah, so this is one of the ways that we've been having MMA here. In fact, I was at a fight last weekend. It was great to see some more organizations growing up here. And amateur MMA and professional MMA are not specifically defined in the ban. So this is one of the reasons that the court is allowing this suit to keep going, because professional isn't defined, and the Athletic Commission has interpreted what a professional MMA bout is different over time. At first they said it's a professional bout is when fighters get paid. Other times a professional bout is when tickets are sold. Other times it's when you pay the fighters and there's an MMA teacher or a school involved in the event. So it's been inconsistent over time, and what the UFC and the plaintiffs are arguing in this case is that, look, you know, we're not sure what a professional is, what an amateur is. This is vague, and this statute should be void for vagueness and unconstitutional.
How optimistic are you? I mean, and you said you think it will eventually happen, and I'm sure it will, but how optimistic are you on the likelihood of an overturn of the ban?
I think it's eventually going to happen, and I think the best evidence that we've got here that it will be, at least on the court side, is that the Attorney General himself, there's an exception under the ban that allows things like amateur MMA to happen, as we know, and there are certain sanctioning bodies like the World Karate Association, North American Sport Karate Association, that if they actually are the ones to sanction an MMA bout, it's legal, and that's what's been going on here. The WKA has been sanctioning MMA events, and the Attorney General himself in open court said, well, if the UFC were to have an event and the WKA here were to sanction it, that would be fine. 2 weeks later, then, they reversed their position and said, oh, no, we don't mean that. We always meant to ban MMA in whatever form. So basically the judge said, well, look, if the Attorney General doesn't even know what this means, there's definitely some vagueness in this law.
Well, it, you know, it sounds like a bunch of crapola. A bunch. I mean, the fact that it's banned in the most populous city, the biggest, baddest city, really, in the country, if not the world. A lot of legal and political mumbo jumbo. But we're thrilled to have experts like you, Stephen Kunin, on the case. And man, we really appreciate you taking the time. Keep going after those bastards, man, and get this thing done. I know you want it as a fan and as a legal professional and as a citizen of the state and city of New York. It's good for everybody, fans, businesses, etc. Thanks again, Stephen Kunin, for joining us this evening, sweet daddy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And you can follow all my updates on laws as it pertains to MMA at combatsportsattorney.com.
All right, Stephen Kunin, thanks very much, brother. We'll talk to you again. You are listening to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. It's just about time for us to get out of here.
Yeah.
Thank you to David Caveman Rickles and, again, to Stephen Kunin. And you can get that's combatsportsattorney.com or Kunin Law, K-U-N-E-N Law.com. And check out, if you want more information, you check that that site out there. So,
and check out the replay of the show on trendingtopicsnetwork.com as well.
See you next week. Fight Your Life, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Your new home for sports 24/7. Kansas City Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. KCMO FM HD2 Shawnee. A Cumulus station. Powered by Cigar and Tobacco Limited. Light them up and turn on the fan. FM Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.